Welcome to the What's Your Thoughts on This podcast. I'm your host, Amir Ali. The topic of today's show is Change the Way You Think with mindset coach Jay Ashton. You don't want to miss this. But hey, before you do anything, make sure you subscribe and share this episode with a friend. God bless you, everyone.
What's up, world? Welcome to the What's Your Thoughts on This podcast. I'm your host, Amir Ali. I'm an opinionated fat boy from the west side of Detroit. I was groomed in Chicago and shaped in New York, but in my heart, Paris is home. Join me on my quest to get answers and gain clarity on a plethora of controversial topics, current events, and political issues. It's a lot going on in the world that I want to discuss, so please take a listen and tell me your thoughts.
Tell me what's your thoughts on, what's your thoughts on this, what's your thoughts on.
Have you ever met someone that makes you want to smile? Someone who exudes an energy that is so magnetic that after each meeting or conversation, you feel inspired? If you haven't, let me introduce you to Jordan Ashton. Jordan is a brilliant, positive, patient, inspiring podcaster and mindset coach who is trying to make the world happier, one person at a time. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jordan Ashton to the show. Thank you for coming today, Jordan.
Thanks for having me. I'm so grateful that you had me on here and I'm so happy to be here.
Man, I'm honored that you would come and take time from your show and come and do mine. You know, if I'm being honest, I know a lot of people, but you are probably one of the coolest, most inspirational people that I know. What does that come from?
There's a lot. There's a lot that it comes from. I would say the biggest thing is over the last year, I've really just transformed myself into an entirely new person just by reading, surrounding myself with people that are smarter than me. I'm a firm believer in if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. So I constantly just am a sponge. I don't think people realize it when I'm talking to them, but anyone I'm talking to, I don't care if you're 10 years old or if you're 50 years old, I'm just soaking up every single word that you're saying and using it to have a better experience for myself. And I think the main thing that keeps me going in terms of being positive and trying to be an inspirational individual is I know for a fact that I'm just so lucky. I got born into this body and it works. I got my arms, I got my legs, I can breathe, I can talk, I can articulate myself. So that's my bar. My bar is, did I wake up? Can I walk wherever I go? I can use my mind to tell my body to take me wherever I want to go. So as long as I lean on the little things that are actually the biggest things, I can't have a bad day.
That's awesome. So you said that over the past year, you made some changes. What are some of those changes?
I have developed an insatiable desire for learning. It really started when my dad reached out to me and said, hey, son, I read this book and it changed my life. And it was actually a personal finance book. And he sent it to me. And at that point, I hadn't read a book in 10 years at that point. And I read this book and it changed my life. And that just completely opened my mind. I said, wow, I can take my eyeballs and I can look at these words on a piece of paper and it can completely warp how I view the world and reshape how I live my life. So that just gave me a thirst and a desire to learn. So I just kept learning. I kept going. I got into meditation. Meditation gave me way more space in my mind between when somebody says something to me and me reacting. I don't react anymore. I respond. So if you say something to me, I'm thinking in my head, I'm having a conversation in my head of what I need to say to articulate myself. So you have an entrance to my mind and how my mind's working. Because if you're reacting instead of responding, then basically somebody is just manipulating your energy and you're just like a robot that's following commands. So for me, I look at everything like a challenge. I look at everything. How can I improve upon this so I can have a better experience for myself? And every single day, I'm always asking myself, how can I be better at something? I'm never satisfied. Every day I look in the mirror, I love myself even more each and every day, but I'm never satisfied because I know that there's so much more to learn. And I know that as long as I keep learning, then life will just keep getting better for me and I'll be a more valuable resource to every single person that I come across.
you said that your father told you about a book, you read the book, and you were inspired, and it changed you. What are some of the other things that you noticed after reading the book that changed in you?
I think the biggest thing about books is you'll be experiencing the same exact situations as you've experienced before, but previously you had information in your mind that helped you navigate this particular scenario. Like, say, we'll give an example. Say I'm in a relationship and I constantly butt heads with my partner. And I constantly butt heads with my partner, not because we can't get along or not because we're not compatible, but the main reason why I'm butting heads with my partner is because I don't know how to translate the information from my mind to their mind. So if I read a book on positive conflict, on how to communicate better with people, great book is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. All-time classic, highly recommend it. But when I read that book, it gave me a whole new perspective. So now, you know, going back to what I was saying, you go back into these situations that you already been in, but now you have more tools. Now you don't get to have what I call the veil of ignorance that gets stripped away from you, because now you got to pay. You got to pay for your mistakes that you make in real time, because you now know what you're supposed to do. So it becomes this process where you learn things and then you go into the same situation and you're going to mess up. You're going to mess up time and time again. But now you at least know in real time when you are messing up. So now you have this awareness that's in your brain that's just building and building and building. And eventually you get to the point where you've done the right thing from the things that you've learned in the book so many times, that it's just like riding a bike. It's just like driving a car. Your brain becomes your friend instead of your enemy. So I think that it's all about turning your brain into your friend, because this thing is not your friend at all. Like, by default, it's just not. It's rigged against you. Aaron, my podcast host on Build the Machine podcast, he said it one of the best ways. He said that your brain doesn't care what you put into it. Its job is to grow the seeds that you plant.
Say that again for me.
The brain does not care what you put into it. The brain's only job is to grow the seeds that you plant. So if you put negative thoughts in your brain, if you put discord in your brain, if you put ungratefulness in your brain, it will grow and grow and grow. So you have to be aware enough to be able to know that this is happening, and you have to plant something else in there. It reminds me of another quote that's in Psycho-Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz. He said, never let a negative thought go unchallenged, ever. So you can't afford, when you hear it, when you hear that voice in your head that's not aligning with your mission and goals. So I'll give you an example. So for me, I have my own show, Build the Machine podcast, that I do with Aaron. And I really believe in this podcast, and it's my baby, and I care about it more than I care about anything. So I should never allow my own self to say anything negative about my baby. It's my baby. So if I hear myself say something negative about my baby that I'm building, I will, like it says in the book, I will pull these thoughts up by the root, and I will examine them, and I will discard them. I will trash them. I will throw them in the garbage because they don't belong in my mind. And if you don't challenge these negative thoughts every single time they come across your consciousness, they will keep chipping away at this machine until they break it. And this machine is your brain. And these negative thoughts will break your brain if you don't pay attention to every time that they come up. You'll indulge in this conversation, and this conversation will progressively get darker and darker and darker, and to the point where it destroys your negative belief. Because going back to the seeds that we've planted, now we've planted a whole forest of this negativity, and it's dark, it looks disgusting, this Alice in Wonderland looking forest, and you can't even navigate it. And that's what your mind turns into if you don't pay attention to the negative things that you're saying to yourself all the time.
So you read these books and now you have a new lease on life, right?
Yeah.
So what happens when you have a bad day? What happens when you are stressed? How do you handle things now differently than how you would handle them before?
I'll actually have to answer that question in two parts, because I'll have to answer the question based off of where I started. and then where I was in the middle, and then where I am now. So where I started was, it's really hard because at first, when you start knowing all this information, you know it, but you don't necessarily know how to implement it. So you have to pay for it. Like, your mind makes you pay for it because you know that you're acting inappropriately, and you know how you're supposed to be acting, but you don't know how to actually do it quite yet. So at first it's really hard, it's really difficult, but you just have to like pay attention to the things that really do bring me a lot of joy. And I lean on those things. I annotate those things. So I identify the things that make me really happy. So one of the things, I actually made a video about this on my IG, and I said that one of the things I found out was, if you make an album, like a photo album, and put moments and videos in there of you having a really, really good time and you smiling, laughing is the best. If you can find videos of yourself laughing, not where you can just hear your laugh, but when you can see your face and you can see the joy on your face and the carefree vulnerability of your laugh, that will literally transport your brain back into that moment, and you will instantly, it will pull you out. It will pull you out every time. I'm telling you, it will pull you out, because I've done it so many times now. And it makes a lot of sense too, because another thing that I learned is that the brain does not know the difference between a real experience and an imagined experience. It doesn't know the difference.
It just knows an experience.
Exactly. So if you're watching yourself having a great time, you're transporting your brain back into that moment, and you're reliving that moment, and you're getting the energy from that moment. So one thing that I realized is, every time that I notice my mood's off or whatever, I lean onto my activities. I play my playlist that I really like. I watch a couple of videos that I've specifically placed in there for these type of moments, and it pulls me right out.
So you plan ahead for the bad times.
Exactly, right? Yeah, you have to plan ahead, because, you know, when you're in a positive mood, when you're flowing, you're vibrating, you have to pay attention to what is causing that. You can't just be riding this high, because if you're just riding this high, it's like a math problem that you don't know how to solve. And then when it's not happening for you, you don't know how to put the pieces together to make this equation go back to your happiness.
Wow. That's awesome. That's a great way to think about it, to plan ahead for the bad times. Because if you do that, then you already have everything in place for your success.
Yes, exactly. That's why the podcast is called Build the Machine, because that concept spoke to me. I don't remember how exactly it came to my mind, but as soon as my mind delivered it to me, it just made so much sense, because you have to build this machine around yourself. The machine is everything. The machine is your brain. The machine is the concepts that you know. It's your conflict resolution. It's your positivity, how you can pull yourself out of sadness, how you can be the person that you need all the time. And whenever your machine isn't programmed for a life event, you feel it. Like, you feel it. It you have a really bad time. But the trick is not to get so trapped into your experience and so lost in your experience that you think that there's no way out, because there's always a way out. All you got to do is find the people that have been in your space before, that have gotten out of your space, because they already have done the work for you. You just have to listen to what they're saying, and you just have to get your brain to be able to do the things that they're asking you to do.
Okay, but I still want to know. So it's great that you have all of these things in place now, right? But when you didn't, what were some of the responses or some of the ways that you would respond to those negative thoughts before you had this enlightenment that you have now?
Before, I was just getting taken. I was getting taken by emotions all the time. I was a victim to the energy that was around me. If you were having a bad time around me, guess what? Now Jordan's going to have a bad time. If you're having a good time, yeah, I'm going to be having a great time too, because I have a lot of energy. I've always had a lot of energy, but my energy was always being manipulated by other people's energy. Before, you know, I got into this mental space, I was just like everyone else, you know, like somebody comes up to you and they're rude to you, and now you're in a bad mood. Automatically, you're just in a bad mood. And then you catch yourself saying it out loud. You say, they made me in a bad mood. They did this to me. But what I realized eventually was, you're giving up so much power if you say that.
Yeah, to someone else.
Yes, to someone else. How I look at it is, you basically are, right before you're about to walk out and go to work, like about to leave your house, I look at your energy. Like, imagine your energy as like these keys that you have. And right before you walk out your door, you take your keys and you throw them out into the world, and you say, take care of my energy, please. For the entire world, you say, please take care of my energy, because I'll let you guys do whatever you want with my energy. And that's what people do when they say, oh, this person disrespected me, so I gave them fire. You just handed over your power. You said, here, I'm a divine being in complete control of my energy, but I'm going to give up that control and I'm going to give it to you. You can do whatever you want with this energy, and then I'm going to blame you for me giving up my power.
That's deep. Because we do give power to so many things. And I remember reading something and it said that it was similar to what you were saying about replaying certain thoughts in your mind. And it's funny, because when I think about a pleasure or a pain, my mind always takes me back to the last time that I felt as good as I feel at that time, or as bad as I might feel at that time. It's interesting, because if you don't govern or control your thoughts in your mind, it really can just do so many things negative for your day.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm really inspired even now, because when I think to plan for the bad times,
yeah,
like, that's really a powerful thought to me, because I'm someone who, you know, I love to eat and different things. And it's funny, because, you know, sometimes you're a meal prepper, you'll do different things to make sure that you have healthy snacks around. But when you think about doing that for your mind, because that's just for your body, but you think about doing that for your mind, that is so powerful to me. Having the right books, having the right videos, having the people to call, and actually thinking about it, because those times will come. And sometimes we act like they will never come, and we do things for them not to come, but we don't plan for it when they will come.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And one of the things that I had it said on one of my episodes was that self-improvement, everybody looks at that term. Some people look at it and it gets to be like a watered down term, but this is how I look at it. So I know that Jordan Ashton today is completely different from Jordan Ashton, the 18-year-old or the 20-year-old or the 22-year-old. So with that being said, I know that the person that I was a product of the people that I was surrounded by and the information that I received at that point in my life. And I was not awake at that early stage in my life. So how I look at it was, I was not in control of who I was becoming whatsoever. I just ended up being that guy once I was like 18 or 19, 20. And it wasn't until I was probably about 24 where I was like, oh, I'm this person now, and I can actually change this person. I can do different stuff. You know, like, your parents, they do things to you. And depending on what kind of trauma you have as a child, you get put in this maze, and you're smack dab in the middle of this super complicated maze, depending on how tough your childhood was. But the point of being an adult and the point of being a divine being is to find your way out of the maze. There's always a way out of the maze. And the crazy part is, once you get out of the maze, you know exactly how to get everyone else that was in your situation out of the maze. And so it goes back to like that term, self-improvement, to me. Self-improvement, it doesn't mean self-improvement to me. It means self-creation. It means creating yourself. Because at the certain point, before you started pouring into yourself, before you started learning about your experience, before you started making all these changes, you were on autopilot. And you were acting as the person that the world made you be. And now you've made a decision to say, oh, I could just read a book. I suck at communicating. I'm the worst communicator ever. And every single time I am in a relationship, somebody tells me I don't know how to communicate. So what are you going to do? Are you going to just remain the person that the world has made you be? Or are you going to pick up a book who somebody who used to suck at communicating has told you, now I read this book and now I can communicate effectively. So it becomes a process now to where you get in tune with this divine being within yourself and you just say, I can change anything that I want about myself. And that's the only way that the world can really get you is if you think that you can't make any changes with yourself. When people tell you things and they tell you how much it can change your life, and then your brain won't let you do it, as in you can't get yourself to do it, that's when you know that your machine in your head is rigged against you and it's not programmed to help you. It's programmed to hurt you, and you can reprogram it to help you. You just got to do the work that other people have already done and you can follow the guideline to do it.
Mm. So what about the people who don't like to read? Are there any other things that they can do to help water the seed within themselves to start a positive change?
So I don't like reading. I didn't like reading either. You know, I hadn't read a book in 10 years before I read a book. If somebody gave me a book, I would tell them, like, I'm not going to read that. I'm sorry. I'm not interested at all. But that's the thing is, like, your brain, again, going back to your brain, does not care what you put into it. It doesn't care. It's going to adjust to whatever you're doing repeatedly. That's just how it works. Like, these neural pathways are habits in your brain. So if you develop the habit of reading, you're going to like it. You could personify your brain like this. Like, your brain at first, when you start reading, it's like, dude, what are you doing, bro? We do not read. Like, this is terrible, bro. I'm not going to pay attention for you. I'm going to keep telling you to pick up your phone and we're going to read, like, maybe two pages, whatever. I'm going to keep fighting you. And then after a certain amount of time, that is like, dude, go read. Like, when that time when you were originally going to go watch TV or you're going to pick up your phone, your brain is like, dude, go pick up that book because we can make some changes right now. So that's first and foremost. Second of all, if you don't want to read, listen to an audiobook. Everybody likes listening to people talk. So you can still read in that format. And if you're not going to do that, listen to a podcast. If you're not going to listen to a podcast,
the What's Your Thoughts on This podcast, actually, listen to that one. Anyway, go ahead.
Exactly. Yes. The big plug right here. This is a great podcast. Look at all the information you're getting. But yeah, there's so many different ways. Like, LinkedIn is another great resource. Like, go find people that are doing what you want to do and ask them one question. How? And they're going to tell you. I'll tell you that right now. They will tell you, because everybody that started from the bottom and has gotten to a point mentally that they've released themselves from all the barriers that held them back before, that were having them have a terrible time, every single one of those people, they have a moral obligation to bring you with them if you ask them. I've never come across anybody that I've specifically asked for information that has withheld it from me, because people are always, you know, looking to share. But the thing that you have to do is you have to be open to receive. I tell myself, that's one of my mantras. I tell myself that every morning. I say, Jordan, be open to receive. Doesn't matter who you are. I don't care if you're the person that is the most annoying in the world. You know, I don't care if you're Donald Trump or whatever. Like, if your voice is in my space and I'm forced to listen to you, I'm going to just be aware enough so that I can pick something out so I can use for my experience. And if you get to a point where you're, I call it, discriminating information based on the source, you're going to miss so much stuff. So what I mean by that is, if you say, oh, I don't like this person, so I'm not going to listen to anything they say, you're going to inevitably miss so much. Because another one of my favorite sayings,
because you don't want to.
Exactly. Another one of my favorite sayings is, how you do anything is how you do everything. So if you are the type of person where you only listen to these type of people, or if you only listen to people that agree with everything that you say, you're in essence rigging your machine to only be the same exact person, because you're only allowing the same exact influences of the information that's already in your brain to come in.
Yeah, definitely. But you said that if you ask them how, then they'll tell you. So how is the question I'm asking you. Outside of reading, I know you are a big advocate for meditation. So, like, reading, meditating, and what else would you suggest?
If you read, if you constantly pour on yourself and you learn every day and you learn how to meditate and you put that into your daily practice and you find a mentor that is already doing what you want to do, is already thinking like you think, and you, like, if you have those three, if you have reading, you have meditation, and you have a mentor, it's a foregone conclusion that you will change your life. But the thing is, you can't take everybody with you. So the people that are around you now are also participating in keeping you to be the person that you currently are. So you're not going to, it's not that you have to cut people off. It's not that you have to not be friends with people. It's just that you have to dedicate more time to the people that are going to help you get to where you're going, instead of like one of the things that I heard that I liked the most was, you should base your friendships off of what they provide you in the present and what they're going to provide you in the future, instead of basing them off of history, what happened in the past. You know, if you just grew up with somebody, okay, like that doesn't mean that you have to be friends with them all the time. People are only energizing you or draining your energy from you. No in between. There's no in between at all. People energize you or drain your energy from you. So if you get off the phone with somebody and you feel tired and you feel exhausted, that's a key sign that that's not a person that you should be allocating a bunch of time to, because they are, in essence, buying real estate in your mind, because they're making you feel really emotional, and that emotion is taking up space in your brain. You're now inheriting their problems. If there is somebody that just vents to you mindlessly and doesn't actually want a solution, they're taking up real estate in your brain. No, your brain is downloading their information to yours. When you're sleeping, you're going to go to bed at night and it creeps into your head somebody else's problems. No, that's not what you should be thinking about. You should be thinking about what you want to build, what in your life you want to build. So I would say, to answer your question, like if you have meditation, if you have reading every day, and like another form of reading is, there's so much YouTube videos out there of people giving great lectures, Jordan Peterson, Jay Shetty. There's so many guys out there that are just pouring into us, giving us such great information. So, and especially nowadays, it's so awesome because these apps, they want you to be on them so much that if you start to look at things that are really good for you, again, it's just like your brain. Like the algorithm for social media doesn't care what you look at. It's just going to show you more of what you are looking at. So me on YouTube, I scroll through my YouTube. It shows me nothing but good stuff. Nothing but good stuff, because it wants to keep me on there. So you can actually use like social media to manipulate your mind in a positive manner. But if you're only watching garbage, it's only going to show you garbage, and your brain is only going to get garbage.
So what about the know-it-all? What about the successful person who has achieved a lot, is at that place in life where their career and everything is fine, but they're still lost?
Yes. So are you saying like people that have seemed to figure out the career success, but haven't still figured out how to enjoy their life?
In a sense, but there's, you know, some people get to a point where they have to restructure their life. They say that they want to become a lawyer. They want to be married. They want to do all of these things. They achieve all of those things and something is still missing. They travel. They do all of those things. But there's a lot of people who have done those things, who have the perfect career. They make perfect money. They have the dog, the house, and all of those things. But deep down, they're still unhappy. What do we say to those people? How do we help them?
I would ask one thing. I'll actually share something that I asked my dad recently, because he's in the military. He's getting ready to retire soon. I asked him, I said, hey, Dad, if you didn't have to worry about money and you could wake up and do everything that was very meaningful to you, what would you do? And you know, he said to me, he said, you know what, son? I've never actually thought about that. He said, I've never thought about that. And I think that that is a travesty. I think it's a travesty because we're on here, we're on this earth for such a very short period of time. And if you don't ask yourself what's meaningful to you, you'll spend your entire life doing things because you think you're supposed to do them. You're not supposed to be doing anything while you're here except for having a good time and following whatever life is pulling you towards. So I would say for me, I said a long time ago that I wanted to be a mindset coach and I wanted to have a podcast. So for me, I just kept lying, Amir. I just honestly kept lying to myself because, and I'd sit down and I'd meditate and I'd ask the universe to reveal to me what it is, my purpose. The first thing that would come into my mind was podcast, mindset coach, life coach. And the second thing that would come in would be, I don't know, it's not too likely. I don't know, it's going to take a while to get that going. Are you sure you want to do that? Let's do something else. Let's do something else so that we can free up our time. We can make enough money so that we can pursue that then. So I feel like for those people that have seemingly got all the things that they think that they wanted, I would challenge those people to ask yourself, whose wants are those? Are those the ones that have been planted in your mind by someone else, by your parents, by society, by your friends and family? Or is it actually something that you desire? Have you ever actually asked yourself, hey, what would I do in a utopian society where I can wake up and do this one thing that actually gives back to humanity in some sense?
Wow, that's a great point. A lot of us are living others' lives by different things that people have told us that we are good at. Like, oh, you know, you speak well, you should do this. Or, you know, you're beautiful, you should be a model.
Yeah.
You know, and you find yourself gravitating towards that because a lot of people tell you that. A lot of people say the same thing. And so you say, okay, well, I will do this because other people think I can do it. And then you may like it a little as well. But it's always funny to me, too, that most of my friends, when we were in college, all of the degrees everyone received, most of them are not working in those fields. They're working somewhere else. So I think also it's good to say, too, that it's okay to make mistakes. I know a lot of people don't want to make mistakes, but mistakes actually bring you sometime to a different goal and to discovering different things about yourself. Because when you make mistakes or when you fail, you want to succeed. So usually when you fail at something, you will either continue to try at that or you will go to something else that you actually see that you can succeed at. So I think that was really, really a really great point that you made. But we are a year in, like, what, 4 or 5 months into the pandemic, where we're coming out of it. Cities and states and countries are opening and people are in a different state of mind. Some people have come out of the pandemic leaner. Some have come out heavier. Some have come out with jobs and some have come out unemployed. Some people have lost their homes and just lost family members. And some people are in a very despondent state of mind. What can you say and what skills, steps, or something can you give to those people that are listening that may be in that state of mind now where they've lost family members, they've lost their job, they've lost their home. Some people have gotten divorced and so many different things. There's a lot of people in pain. How and what should they do to help themselves in this particular situation, to get out of this situation?
Yes, absolutely. We've just never seen anything like this before. I mean, I'm 26 years old, so I haven't lived that long, but I've never seen anything like this before. I've seen how hard it's been on a lot of people. I've seen people that have died in the hospital alone because their families weren't allowed in there. You know, it's been definitely a wild ride for everyone, and some more than others. But I would say, to those people, I would say it's really unfortunate. It's a force of nature. It's unprecedented to see what nature can do to us as human beings. But just because something really unfortunate happened to a lot of us, it doesn't have to be the reason for our failure. It doesn't have to be, and I don't want it to be at all, because what you have to do is just know that circumstances has happened to you, but there's a way out of your mind. There's always a way out. Like, the biggest thing that you can ever lose is your self-belief. If you lose your self-belief, you got to go find it again. You have to go find it again. And the best way to do it is take one step forward. You're talking about like fitness wise. Okay. So if you're struggling with fitness and you gained a lot of weight and you want to get started. So take one step. What's one step? What are you doing right now? If you're not doing anything, go walk. Go on a walk. Go on a mile walk around your neighborhood. Like, you can do that. Everyone can do that. So, you know, you just build momentum. You know, I know you and I talked about this before, about motivation being a consequence of action. So I feel like a lot of us are waiting for that day where we're going to feel like doing something. we're waiting for the day when we have the motivation to do it.
Man.
And that damn day is not coming. It's not ever coming. It's never going to come. There's never going to be a day where you wake up with a fire in you and you're like, oh, I want to work out now, when you haven't been doing it. Because like, that's just not how our brains work. Our brains are built for efficiency. We're the law of least effort. Is how our brains work. So if you can't get yourself to run a mile, you better run a half mile. If you can't run a half mile, you run a quarter mile. You just keep decreasing your input until it gets to a manageable level. So you never just give up because it's hard for you to do it. Because what's going on in your brain is, I want everybody to just close your eyes for a second and picture this. Everybody's seen Star Wars, right? Everybody's seen Star Wars. So I want you to picture when they're having this lightsaber illuminate and how it just goes from nothing to this huge lightsaber. But I want you to imagine this lightsaber just getting ever so slightly bigger. I want you to imagine this red Darth Vader lightsaber getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Now I want you to imagine it completely going away. So that's what happens in your brain when you give up, when you have momentum and you're going to the gym one day and you go to the gym 2 days, you go to the gym 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, and you're rolling. Say you get to day 50. You get to day 50 and your lightsaber is almost completely extended. And then you say, I go tomorrow. The lightsaber completely goes away and you got to start over. Like, that's how our brains work. They're just computers. So it takes 66 days to build a habit. That is like a scientific fact. They've done so much research on it. So when you're going to start something new, if you're not going to do it for 66 days, don't pick it up. Just don't do it. Don't do it at all. And when I say that, if you're going to exercise, if exercise being your thing, you're like, I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, Jordan, I need a rest day though, right? I need a rest day. No, you don't need a rest day. Your rest day can be a walk. Just do something that is aligning with what you want to do. 66 days in a row, and you have to change your identity. I don't care how big you are. I don't care if you're 400 pounds. You look in the mirror every single day and you say, I'm a fit person. I'm an athletic person. I'm a healthy person. Because every single day,
I'm a rich person. I'm a billionaire person.
Exactly.
I'm rich.
Exactly. Let your mind hear it. Let your mind hear you say it out loud so your mind can start to believe it.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes, I'm a billionaire.
I'm manifesting what I want.
Absolutely.
No, but this is great stuff, brother. Like, this is great stuff. And, you know, if I can be a little transparent, you know, coming out of the pandemic, you know, I was having struggles with going back to the gym. It was, you know, just feeling unsafe in the gym, whether or not it was clean enough or whether or not it was going to be social distant and just a lot of different things. However, you were a positive motivating force that really has helped me get my shit together. I thank you for that because your energy is infectious. And I don't know, it was just the kindness that I was like, this isn't genuine. You know, this guy's crazy, you know. And then it was like, you know, you would text me and be like, hey, so how's the workout going? You know, call me like, hey, you know, like, what's going on? What are you doing? You know, and I'm like, what? Really? This guy serious? You know, I'm not going to hear from him anymore. You know, you call me again like, hey, no, what's up? You know, what's going on? What's good? And I'm just being honest. I know everyone doesn't have an accountability partner like that, but I'm very thankful. It really does help having someone in your corner or having someone meet you at where you are and do everything possible to help you to achieve the goals that you want to achieve. But I thank you so much for you being so positive and being there to help me. I don't know how long it would have taken for me to get up and to do it. It was, I already had the gym membership, already had everything that I needed. I mean, I had, you know, workout clothes, but, you know, I bought more just to influence myself to go. You know, I bought some shoes, I bought a couple of track suits and a couple of different things just to say, okay, listen, now you need to go. But to be honest, I haven't even worn any of them. I have not worn anything new that I purchased. It was literally just, I've been reading this book. I don't know the title of it right now, so I won't give it out, but I've been reading this book. And it's helped me. It's helped me change the way that I think. Talking to you has helped me change the way that I think. It's not like I didn't know these things, but it was great to hear someone else feed that to you, and someone else to say those things to you, and someone else to tell you about times, you know, where they made mistakes, or, you know, they didn't want to work out or didn't want to whatever, you know. So I really just wanted to say thank you for that. Anyone listening, if you listen to Build the Machine podcast, if you listen to that podcast, you will hear a lot of what you heard today. And that is why I love Jordan, because he's an awesome motivating force, as well as his co-host. They have a really, really good show, and I want you guys to check them out. But Jordan, before you leave, I want you to tell us about a time where you had to overcome a crazy situation where you didn't think that you would be able to, and how you overcame.
Wow, there's a ton of them that I can lean on for sure. But I guess I'll go with one. I'll do a little recency bias just because it's fresh on my mind. So, and in the spirit of fitness, myself, I used to be in the military. And when I was in the military, I was in a house of three other close friends. And I was, 22. Yeah, I think I was 22. And so at that time, you're young and, you know, you want to drink and have fun. So I was drinking like a ridiculous amount. I wasn't taking care of my body. I wasn't very healthy. And I actually just yesterday, I just posted a picture of a before and after of what I looked like in the military and then versus what I looked like about 2 weeks ago. And I realized at a certain point in time when I got into running, because I've worked out before and I was, you know, fit, but I could never lose weight really. I didn't know how to do it. I wasn't doing it the right way. So I was bulky, but I wasn't, you know, I never looked how I wanted to look. So how I started running was, big shout out to Brian Durgo, great friend of mine. We just started running. Like we got this app, Nike Run Club app, and we started running. I was running 1.75 miles, and I was running 1.75 miles because it was the route that I took. That's it. And then Brian and I, we were going to have a competition together. So we're going to have a competition, and we're going to see who can run the most. And then we quickly realized that we were so competitive that we were going to kill ourselves if we tried to compete against one another. So instead we were like, okay, let's just get a team goal, like something that we can both aim at. So we said, all right, we're going to run 100 miles this month. And at this point we had never, him or I hadn't even run 50, I don't think, but we set a goal and we're like, let's do it. So, you know, once you make a decision and you say, I'm going to do this, and especially once you get somebody else involved with you, there's going to be days where you don't feel like it. And that's great, because that person's going to feel like it that day. You're going to get a notification that says, Brian just finished his run. You know how much that energized me? I'm like, I said I was going to do it. I said I'm going to do it. And he just tagged me in this run, and now it just lights a fire in me, right? So the thing is, the trick about fitness, the trick about everything, the trick about life is, if you want to do something, you have to like it. You have to give yourself time to like it. You're not going to like running when you first start, because you're going to be breathing all heavy. It's going to be torture for you. It's going to suck. Okay. But you just got to see it through. And once I saw it through, I lost, I think, 30 pounds total from when I was in the Air Force. I'm 26 years old. I've never been in better shape. And it's to the point now where I don't have to try anymore. Like I tried for a while, and now it's burned into my brain. So since it's burned into my brain, it's just something that I do. I'll just get up and I'll go run 7 miles now. Just 7 miles, just like that, because I trained my mind, not my body. Like the body will follow the mind. But if you train your mind to be like, I am a runner, I am going to run 7 miles, then you will. It doesn't matter how fast you run it. It doesn't matter what the scale says. All that matters is that you make the decision every single day to just do it once. As long as you do it once every single day, whatever version of yourself that you see in the future exists. And as soon as you give up, that person, poof, they disappear into thin air. So don't ever lose sight of what that person looks like, what that person feels like, and just do it one time every single day, and you'll get there.
Do you have any final words or anything that you would like to say to the people to inspire them?
Yeah, I would just say, look, guys, everybody can understand how you got to where you are right now, because things happen that are out of our control. Everybody can understand how you got there. But just because The world puts you there. Doesn't mean you have to stay there. There's always a way out of the maze. Find the people that have been where you are, that have overcome the challenges that you're facing right now. Find those people, ask them how they did it, and do the damn thing, because you don't deserve to live your divine existence being crippled by fear, anxiety, or sadness. You deserve to be happy and have abundance flow through you, and you deserve everything that you desire, and there's a way to attain it, and your job is to find it. You got this.
Awesome. Thank you so much, brother. May God bless you.
Thanks for having me. Take it easy.
For more information on Jordan Ashton, listen to his podcast. It's called Build the Machine Podcast with hosts Jordan Ashton and Aaron Norfleet, which is available on all podcast platforms. You can also follow him on IG at jash413. I hope today's show made you smile. And if it did, share this episode with a friend. And remember, it's all in your mind. Be conscious of what you allow to enter your mind and change the way that you think. That's our show for today. The music used during the interview of this episode was produced by The Fifth Perspective. Thank you for listening to the What's Your Thoughts on This podcast. We truly appreciate your support. Our show is produced by Amir Ali. Our theme song was written by Amir Ali, produced by Adrian Brundy, and performed by Enrico Dells. If you would like to be a guest on our show, or if you have a question or you want to provide some feedback, send an email to WYTOTpodcast@gmail.com. Our podcast is available on all platforms, so make sure you subscribe to our show and follow us on social media. Be well, be safe, and be blessed. Until next time.
Audio post-production by Yaya Podcasting. YayaPodcasting.com.